Hello to everyone listening to this recording. My name's Mike, and I live in St. Louis, Missouri, in the United States. And what I'm going to demonstrate for you on this recording is the accessibility features built into the Macintosh. I know there's been some podcasts before on the Macintosh with the install of the operating system and that type of thing, but I don't think there's been one that's kind of started out with an introduction to the Macintosh and then kind of demonstrated some of the applications and how they are made accessible on the Macintosh. So I thought I would do a recording of that. What I'm going to show you first are the three most essential things that people look for in a computer as far as applications go. We'll see how the Macintosh handles web browsing, email, and word processing. And then maybe we'll do a couple other fun things, like play a song or two in iTunes and show you Skype, if time permits. So before we get into that, let me just kind of give you a little overview of the Macintosh accessibility features for those of you who may not know. The Macintosh operating system, the current version is Mac OS X version 10.5. It's also known as Leopard. And it's the second version of the operating system that Apple has included a screen reader with. They started doing this with Mac OS 10.4, which was called Tiger. And they've improved upon it in Mac OS X 10.5. It is commendable. I think Apple should be commended for including a screen reader in their operating system, because the Mac is the only computer platform that I know of where you can literally take the computer out of a box, plug it in, fire it up, and have speech available to you throughout the setup and then, you know, on through using the computer. And that is a first, I think. Of course, with Windows you can do, you know, install scripts and that type of thing. But you may not have speech if the sound card drivers are not installed right away. But with this, you have speech right away out of the box. And I think that's commendable. And I've read a few articles on some of the lists where some people have kind of, you know, put down VoiceOver, which is the screen reader for the Macintosh, saying, well, it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. And it's like, you know, here Apple has taken the time and put in the work to make their operating system accessible out of the box. And no, it's not the same as Windows exactly. It's not designed to be. It's a different operating system. And yet people still want to derade Apple for that, and I think that is a terrible thing. So what I would say is, if you're thinking about going to the Mac, certainly it is worth trying. I think I'm glad I did. I've had my Macintosh now for about 2 weeks, and I'll describe the Mac that I purchased a little bit more in a minute. But I will, throughout this presentation, I will make some comparisons to Windows for those of you who are familiar with Windows and who are listening to this. And I did find that when I was learning some things that it helped to do some comparisons. However, having said that, it's important that you don't expect this to work the same as Windows. There are some similarities, which we'll get into, such as, you know, tabbing and arrowing around and that type of thing. But the way VoiceOver does things is a little bit different than what you may be used to with most screen readers. So while you can compare different Mac OS elements to maybe some of the Windows things, like Macintosh HD, for instance, that's the hard drive that you might say is the equivalent of the C drive on most, you know, Windows computers, you don't want to say, you know, well, you know, VoiceOver doesn't read this way like the Windows screen readers do, so I don't want to, you know, use it. So I wouldn't say leave everything behind that you know about Windows and Windows screen readers, because you will find some similarities. But at the same time, it's important not to expect that it's going to function and sound the same and act the same, you know, in a lot of the circumstances. And, you know, so you will have to be patient and do a bit of learning if you decide to try the, you know, the Macintosh and the Mac, you know, operating system and VoiceOver. But I think you'll find that it's worth it. VoiceOver actually does most things that the Windows screen readers do in its own way, and it actually does some things that no Windows screen reader that I know of can do. And I'll show you a few of those as we go along here. Well, as far as the type of Macintosh that I got, I was originally going to get an iMac, which is a Macintosh that has everything built in. It's a self-contained unit. And that has the screen and the hard drive and everything built into it, and then you just connect a keyboard and a mouse. Well, after doing a little more looking around at the local Apple store here, I decided to go with the Mac Mini. And what this is, it is a little square box. Each side is about 6 inches. And it is very portable. It doesn't use a battery. The power pack is external, but and you do have to connect a keyboard to it, which I've got a desktop keyboard connected to this Mac. And I do have external speakers connected as well. And I'll try to get the audio as good as I can with me talking and with the voice. I'm using the Victor Reader Stream to record this. So what we've got is it's a little square box. Like I say, it's 6 inches on each side. And I'll give you a description of what this Mac Mini looks like so you can kind of picture it. The front of it has the slot for a CD or DVD, and the one I've got does burn CD and DVDs also. There's not too much of interest on the left and the right side. On the back, starting from the left side, on the top you've got the line out port where I have my speakers connected to, and a line in port. Unfortunately, this Mac doesn't have a microphone port on it. I do wish it did. But for Skype and that kind of thing, I'll probably end up getting a USB microphone for that. Or if I can find an amplifier, maybe to amplify a regular microphone. But so you've got the line out and the line in ports. And then you've got kind of a vent on the back where there's a fan for the cooling, although this Mac is very, very quiet. You'd barely know it was on. Okay, then below that, starting back on the left again, we've got 4 USB ports, and I've got the keyboard connected to one of those. Then we have the video port. You can connect a monitor to this, although there is no monitor built into it, which is fine for a blind person, really. You really don't need a monitor, and you can certainly use the built-in speaker. It's fairly decent audio, and maybe I'll show you that by disconnecting the speakers. But the video port is here. Should you, you know, want or need to connect it to a monitor, you can certainly do that. And then to the right of the VGA port, or actually it's a digital port, DVI I believe it is, and it comes with a DVI to VGA adapter. So you can use that with either kind of monitor. But to the right of that port, you've got the FireWire port. Then we've got the Gigabyte Ethernet port. And then finally on the far right, we've got the place where the power supply goes in. And this Mac also has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So if those are things you want to use, you can certainly do that. Okay. That having been said, by the way, one other thing I will mention, you can run Windows on the newer Macs. Every Mac that's made now uses an Intel processor, and you can run Windows in several ways if you choose to. There's a boot manager called Bootcamp that allows you to boot into Windows natively, so then all of the processor power would be available to Windows. You do have to install some drivers, so You will need sighted assistance if you want to install Windows that way. And then there's VMware is a company. It's called Fusion. That's a virtual machine that allows you to run Windows in a virtual environment alongside the Mac operating system. I haven't put Windows on this Mac, and I'm not sure if I'm going to yet, just because I've got a couple of PCs around here also that are more than sufficient. I might eventually, but it's not high on the priority list at this point in time. Well, with the intro stuff out of the way, let's go ahead and fire this Mac up. Now, the way this works is to start a voiceover, and you can do this on any Mac that's running Mac OS X 10.4 or 10.5. You hold the command key, and I guess I should maybe describe the Mac keyboard to you a little bit. It's a little bit different than the Windows keyboards, but not a whole lot. The main thing that I want to mention to you is the different modifier keys. The keys to the left and the right of the spacebar on a desktop Mac keyboard are a little bit different. To the left of the spacebar, you have the command key, which is similar to an alt or a control key. It's a modifier. Just think of it that way. It's a modifier key. And then to the left of the command key, we have the option key, which again is another modifier key. And then to the left of that, we have the control key. Now you can connect a PC keyboard to a Mac, a USB keyboard, and it will work. The Alt and the Windows keys will function as, I think it's the Command and the Option keys respectively, but I may have that backwards. But suffice to say, you can do it. And vice versa. I have connected this Mac keyboard to my PC, and it did work. So it is interchangeable. It's just that the keys might be called different things. But to start VoiceOver, though, on any Mac running those operating systems, you hold the Command key and you press F5. The function keys, of course, are on the top row of the keyboard. And that will start the VoiceOver program. When you do that, unless you disable it with the same keystroke again, VoiceOver will launch whenever you start up your Mac. If you have multiple accounts on your computer, which I don't, I just have the one, it will start up, you know, if that account is enabled for the VoiceOver. Now, there is also a setting in the system preferences that you can enable the VoiceOver on the login prompt. So that is fully accessible as well. But with my Mac, of course, since I only have the one account, it just goes right to the desktop. There's no login or anything like that. So, that having been said, let's go ahead and fire up this Mac. The power button is on the back of the Mac on the right, on this one, and the startup sound does come out of the built-in speaker, even though I do have my external speakers connected here. So you'll hear that first, and then once it boots up, we should hear a voiceover from the speakers I've got here. So, anyway, I'm going to press the power button here, and this will fire up. And there's the Mac startup sound, and that should give you an idea somewhat of what this, what the built-in speaker is capable of. And I'll show you the voice also on that as we go along here, so you can kind of compare. Okay, this is booting up. Hard drive is kind of grinding away, and once this loads up, we should have a speech here. The voice I'm going to use is a voice that's built in. Alex, his name is, and it's a pretty good quality voice. I'll slow it down for you a little bit, though, so you'll be able to understand it better. And it's still booting up here. It boots a little faster.
Welcome to Macintosh. The voiceover is running. Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
Okay, I think it does boot up a little bit faster than Windows does, actually, by comparison. But it said, welcome to Macintosh, VoiceOver is running, and we're sitting on the desktop. I should mention, too, that everything I'm going to show you is built in to the Mac. It comes with it, well, except for Skype, if we play with that a little bit. That's a program that I did download from the internet. But as far as the screening capabilities, that's all built in. There's nothing extra that I've purchased. You can get some extra voices that work with a VoiceOver and purchase those, which I am playing with now. But for this demonstration, I'll stick with using the Alex voice because that is built into the Mac. Okay, so we are sitting on the desktop, and I should mention, too, I think I mentioned this earlier, I've only had my Mac for about 2 weeks, so some of the things I'm going to show you, there may be faster ways to do them that I haven't figured out yet, but certainly the way I'm going to have you do it, though, will work, the way I'm going to take you through things. Okay, we are sitting on the desktop, and you'll notice that it said a minute ago, Macintosh HD selected. That's the hard drive. Now, I'll do a little Windows comparison here, and again, I'll do that a bit as we go along here, just for the Windows users to kind of keep you from getting too overwhelmed, hopefully. But the only thing that's on my desktop at the moment is the Macintosh HD. You can put other things on the desktop, shortcuts to other programs. The Mac calls them aliases. But for now, I've just got the Macintosh HD on the desktop, which is the hard drive, and that is the equivalent of the C drive on Windows. Now, of course, to open the C drive on Windows, you have to go to My Computer first and open that, and then go to the C drive and open that. But with the Mac, you can just open the hard drive directly. Now, to open something on the Mac, and again, here's one of the differences. If you press Enter on a application or a volume or a hard drive or something like that, it's going to assume you want to rename it. So I could rename this Macintosh HD to something else by pressing Enter. To open something, we have to hold the Command key down, which again is the main, probably the modifier that's used most often with the Mac for commands. We hold down the Command key and we press the letter O for open. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now, and that should open the hard drive here. So I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Show view options. Oops. Window, view options.
I hit the wrong key there. I hit Command J accidentally. Let me escape out of that.
Zero items selected. Finder.
Okay.
Macintosh HD selected.
There we go. Okay, let's try the Command O again here.
Open. Window. Macintosh HD table.
Okay. Now, it opened the hard drive for us, and we are sitting in it. It's at a table. Now, again, I'll make another Windows comparison here for you. You can choose to view different folders in different ways. You can view it by icon, by column, by list. I prefer list myself, and I do that in Windows also because then everything is kind of in an alphabetical list, and you just use the up and down arrow keys to navigate it. But that's a personal preference. VoiceOver does not require that you change any settings for it to work, you know, optimally. It's personal preference. Now there are some things you can disable. I still choose to disable the toolbars and that type of thing in my applications, but that's by no means required. So we're sitting in the hard drive now, and I'll just kind of arrow down here a little bit so you can kind of see what's here and how VoiceOver describes it for us. So I'll go ahead and press the down arrow key here. Actually, before I do that, let me go ahead and slow this voice down a little bit and enable another VoiceOver setting so to make this a little more verbose for you, so you get as much speech feedback as you can. Let me just do that here really fast. Actually, I'm going to pause this while I do that, so you won't have to hear all that extra the extra verbiage, and then we'll pick this up again after I've made these adjustments, just for the rate, and I'm going to enable the reading of the column headers for tables also. So I'm just going to pause this for a moment. Okay, I've made those changes, slowed the voice down, and okay, let me go ahead and enable this setting also for the headers, for the tables.
Opening VoiceOver Utility.
And that'll just take a moment.
VoiceOver Utility.
I'll go ahead and pause that again, actually, while I do that. Okay, now we're all set. I went ahead and made those adjustments. So, again, we're sitting in the hard drive then, and I'll just go ahead and arrow down here a little bit so you can kind of see what's here. And I'm not even exactly sure what all these folders do yet. I know what a good majority of them do, but I'm still kind of learning here too, because like I said, I've only had my Mac for about two weeks. But anyway, let's go ahead and arrow down here a couple times.
Collapsed, row 1. Name, applications, selected folder, date modified, yesterday, 5:51 p.m., size, kind, folder.
Okay, that's the applications folder. That's where all your applications go. Now, this is an area where the Mac and Windows differ quite a bit. You can just go into this folder and run the applications directly. When you download and install applications on the Mac, well, sometimes there is an install package that installs it, but a lot of the time it's downloaded as a DMG, a disk image. And you open that file, and then a lot of times what you'll have is maybe a document, a README file or something like that, and then the application itself. And then you simply move that application to your applications folder, and that's where it runs from. And then if you want to uninstall something, sometimes there is an uninstall program, but a lot of times you simply just take that application and move it to the trash, which is the equivalent of the Windows recycle bin, and then it's uninstalled. There's not a whole lot of shared DLLs or the registry or a lot of that stuff on the Mac, so it's a much cleaner environment, really. So that's kind of how applications work. And of course on Windows too, when you're in the start menu looking at things, you're looking at shortcuts to the different applications. But when you're in this applications folder, which will open actually in a minute, you're looking at the applications themselves, not shortcuts to them. Although again, you can make shortcuts. The Mac calls them aliases. Okay, let's arrow down here again.
Collapsed, row 2. Name. Developer, selected folder, date modified, May 4th, 2008, 10:39 p.m., size, kind, folder.
Okay, so that's developer. Now, one thing I should explain, too, I guess, where it says collapsed. The reason why it says that is on these folders, you can open them in one of two ways. You can right arrow here, just press the right arrow, and that will expand it, and then the contents of the folder will be displayed in addition to everything else. So the rows will basically be added to what you're already looking at. Or you can press Command-O on any one of these folders, and it will essentially open that folder in a separate window. And that's kind of how I prefer to do it. Let's arrow down here a couple more times, and we'll just see what else is here.
Collapsed. Row 3. Name, library, selected folder, collapsed, row 4. Name, MP3, selected folder, collapsed, row 5. Name, system, selected folder, date modified, May 4th, 2008, 10:17 p.m., size, kind, folder.
Okay, so you kind of get the idea on that, how that works. And you just arrow up and down through your whole hard drive, and it works, works very well. Now, the first thing I'll show you is the email program that comes with the Mac, and it's just called Mail. So what we want to do is get back up to the Applications folder. Now, there's a few ways we can do that. I could just arrow back up to row 1, which is the first thing that's here. Or, like in Windows, you can type the first couple of letters of what you want to find here. So what I'm going to do is just type in AP for applications, and that should then take us right up to that folder. Let's see.
Collapsed, row 1. name, applications, selected folder, date modified, yesterday, 5:50.
Okay, we won't listen to all that extra verbiage. But anyway, we're sitting on the applications folder again. So you can type, you know, the letters of what you're interested in finding also. And works very well. Okay, let's go ahead and open the applications folder with Command-O.
Open. Window. Applications. Table. Table.
All right, there we are.
38 rows added.
Okay.
26 rows added.
Okay, it's adding rows there as it opened. It said 38 rows added, 26 rows added as it opened the folder, and everything came into view. So now we're in the applications folder, and I'll just arrow down here again so you can kind of see what's here, some of the applications.
Row 1, name, address book, selected application, collapsed. Row 2, name, AppleScript, selected folder. Row 3. Name, Automator, selected application, date modified, May 4th.
That's for scripting, Automator. You can do Apple, you can do scripting, which I haven't gotten into yet. That is something I may take on eventually. But you can do a lot of powerful stuff with it, though.
Row 4, name, Calculator, selected application, date modified,
and there's
November
calculator.
15th. Row 5, name, Chess, selected application, Row 6. Name, dashboard, selected application, row 7. Name, dictionary, selected application.
That's a fun one, too, I want to play with. You can get the meaning of words. I think it's that's something that's fairly new, I think, in the Mac operating system. So that's a fun application. I want to play with that at some point also.
Row 8. Name, DVD player, selected application, date modified.
Yes, the Mac does come with a... The Mac does come with a DVD player built in. You don't have to purchase that separately. It is included.
Row 9. Name. Expose. Selected application. Collapsed. Row 10. Name. Flip for Mac. Selected folder. Row 11. Name. Fonts book. Selected application. Row 12. Name, front row, selected application, date modified.
In front row, that allows you to make DVDs, I believe. You can make your own movies. So you get the idea. That's the applications folder. And again, we can run these applications directly from this folder, which we're going to do here. Okay, the app I want to show you first, the program, is the email program, which is called Mail. So to get to that, probably since it's M-A, it would be the first application to start with the letter M, I would think. Let's just press the letter M and find out.
Row 26. Name, mail, selected application, date modified, May 4th, 2008, 10:15 p.m.
Okay,
size,
so that's what we want. So what we're going to do here is just press Command-O to open the mail application. Let's go ahead and do that now.
Open. Mail. Window. Inbox. Messages. Table. Has keyboard focus.
Okay. And we're sitting in the inbox now. Now, so far, I have not used any of the voiceover commands. There are a wealth of them, but so far, we haven't needed to use them. We were just, arrowing around and, using built-in Mac keyboard commands and letting VoiceOver tell us what we need to know. We'll get into using some of the VoiceOver commands, especially when we get into the web browsing and that type of thing. Before we continue, let me give you probably the biggest difference between VoiceOver and how the Windows screen readers do things. And you'll see this a little more as we go along. With most Windows screen readers, when you use the reading cursor or the mouse cursor, whatever your screen reader might call it, of course, most of the time, it gives you everything that's in the window. You know, you can arrow down and you see everything in the window, every item. The way VoiceOver does things, you get an overview of things when you first start out. Like, you might have a list or a toolbar or that type of thing. And then to read something in more detail, you you do what's called interact with that element, and then you can read it in more detail. And then when you're done, you stop interacting with that element. So that's one thing that a lot of people may need to get used to with that, and it's probably the biggest difference between, you know, the Windows Screen Readers and VoiceOver. But on the flip side of that, doing it that way, you can really get around a lot quicker because you're not reading things on the Mac that that you may not be, you know, interested in. Okay, I just wanted to explain that. So as we continue here and do some different things, the interact concept will be known to you. Okay, so we are sitting in the inbox here. I have no messages in here at the moment, and what I want to do is go ahead and send a message to myself. So you can kind of see this. I'm sure I've got other messages in my mailbox, but demonstrate the sending of messages also. Now, to do that, there is a keystroke that will start a new message, and that is Command. Again, the Command is the modifier key that's used quite a bit on the Mac, Command N. And that will start a new message. But rather than doing it that way, I'll do it through the menus so you can kind of see how that works with VoiceOver. The Macintosh does have a menu bar, again, similar to Windows, and there are keystrokes for accessing it. Of course, in Windows, it's the Alt key. You tap that, and then you can go to the menu bar, and arrow around. With the Apple, holding the Control key and pressing F2 will move you to the menu bar, if the program has one, which Mail does. So let's just press Control F2, and we'll start a new message through the menus, just so you can kind of see how that works. I'm going to set the Victor Reader stream down for a moment, just so I can type with both hands here and use the keyboard. So as I continue to talk, I might have a bit more of an echo just for a moment, using the built-in microphone here on the stream. Okay, let's go ahead and press Control F2 then, and that should move us to the menu bar.
Menu bar, Apple.
All right, and we want to arrow to the right then.
Mail.
Mail. Each application has usually a menu title, you know, with the name of the application. And that's where you can find, like, the preferences for the application and that type of thing. So let's keep arrowing. We want to get to the message menu. And we could press the first letter here also. But let's just go ahead and keep arrowing to the right.
File, Edit, View, Mailbox, Message.
That's what we want. So we can press either Enter or the down arrow key here to open this.
Message menu. Send again, dim command, Shift, D.
And notice it says send again, and then it says dimmed, which means, of course, it's not available. And it says command, Shift, D. That would be the keyboard shortcut for that command.
Reply, dim command, R.
Reply, we can't do that either, of course, because we're not in a message.
Reply all, dim command, Shift, R.
Okay, I'll just arrow down here through the rest of this menu until we get to new message.
Reply with iChat, dim command, forward, dim command, Shift, F. Forward as attachment, redirect, dim command, bounce, mark, submenu, move to submenu dimmed, copy to submenu dimmed, move again, dimmed command, apply rules, dimmed command, add sender to address book, dimmed command, remove attachments, dimmed. Text encoding, submenu. Send again, dim command, Shift, D.
Okay, the new message command isn't in this menu. I kind of thought it would be, because that's where you'd think it was in most applications. But that's all right. You get the idea of how a VoiceOver handles menus, and of course most of those items were dimmed because we have no messages in the inbox at the moment. Let me just hit the escape key and get out of the menus.
Messages table.
Okay, and we're back into the messages table, which is empty. If we try to arrow up and down here, it just bonks at us because it's empty. Okay, well, like I say, I know what the command is to get to the new message, and that's command N. So I'm going to press that now, and that should take us to a new message.
Window, new message. 2, edit text, insertion at beginning of text. 2, edit text.
Okay, so it says 2, edit text, and we are in the message ready to type a new one. By the way, I will, and I'll give this at the end too, since I'm going to send a message to myself, I'll give you my email address if you want to contact me with any questions or comments on this presentation, feel free. My email address is N0OXY, that's my ham radio call, N0OXY, at charter, C-H-A-R-T-E-R, .net. So again, I'm going to set the Victor Reader stream down that I'm using to record this so I can type that with both hands. And you can just hear VoiceOver speak the letters as I type. I've got it set to speak letters. You can change that to speak words or nothing if that's your preference. That is changeable. But anyway, I'm going to set this down for a minute and go ahead and type in my address.
And
let's see here. Looks like I may have hit, what did I do here? I wonder if I hit a key that muted this. Just a moment. Let me pause this and see what's going on here with this. Okay, what had happened? No, I didn't mute anything. The my keyboard was not fully plugged in, and I had to push that back into the USB port, so that's what it was. All right, I think we're back in business here. I'm going to set this down, and let me go ahead and type my email address.
N9delete90OXY at C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T.
Alrighty. Now we'll go ahead and use a voiceover command to verify that. The voiceover commands, to access any voiceover command, you hold the control and the option keys at the same time. And then you press another one or two keys. It does not depend on using the numeric keypad, like a lot of Windows screen readers use the numeric keypad, and if you're using a laptop keyboard, you can use a laptop layout. You can enable VoiceOver to use the numeric keypad if you choose to, but by default, it does not use the numeric keypad. So for the most part, the commands on a laptop are the same as on a desktop. The only exception to that is sometimes with the function keys, they can have several different functions. You can have the function keys do hardware things like changing the volume and that type of thing, or do software functions like being used for the applications, like for VoiceOver and that type of thing. But for the commands, though themselves, VoiceOver does not use the numeric keypad. Anyway, to read the current line, we hold the control and the option keys, which again, think of that as the VoiceOver, we'll call it the VoiceOver modifier. Why don't we call it that? Or the VoiceOver keystroke. The user's guide just calls it VoiceOver, VO. But anyway, we hold those two keys down and we press the letter L. And that will read us the current line. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now.
N0OXY@charter.net.
N0OXY@charter.net. Okay, that makes my ham radio call into a word. So that's fine. That's what it should be. Let's go ahead and press the tab key.
CC, edit text, insertion at beginning of text.
And I don't want to send a carbon copy to anybody, so I'm just going to tab again.
Subject, edit text, insertion at beginning of text.
It says insertion at beginning of text. There's nothing in the box, so that's why it's at the beginning. So now we're in the subject box. I'll just type test. So again, I'm going to set down my Victor Reader stream to do that.
T-E-S-T.
Okay, let's press the tab key again.
C- Customized header menu button.
And I don't want to change anything there. So we'll just tab again.
Text.
And now it says text. We are in the body of the message, ready to type it. So I will just type a couple of sentences here. I'll type maybe, this is a demonstration of VoiceOver and the Macintosh. I hope everyone is enjoying it. And, just type a couple of sentences there. All right, I'm going to set the stream down again while I type this. Okay, here we go.
T.
It does raise the pitch when you do a capital letter, if you have it configured to do that.
H I F space F space F space D E L F T R F T I F space F space V C E space V E space F space T space M A N delete N C I N T O A period space I space up space V E Y space G O Y H space T period.
All right, there we are. Now we can read that with the regular arrow keys. If we just arrow up here.
This is a demonstration of VoiceOver and the Macintosh. I hope everyone is enjoying it.
There we go. Or we could read by character just with the left and right arrows.
T H I S space I S space A space D D A space S I space S I A T.
I'm just moving backward. So. That's how that works, and so all of that works well. VoiceOver works with all the cursor commands. Okay, we could spell check this, but I think I'll save the spell checking demonstration for text edit, which is the word processor that comes with the Mac. So I'm just going to send this. And the command for sending is a little interesting, but once you memorize it, it's no big thing. You hold the command key, and you press the shift key, and then you press D. So command shift D. So I'm going to press that now.
Messages, table, no selection, messages, table.
And you hear that little sound as the message is sent, and it's on its way. All right, let's see if that arrived. So let's retrieve mail, and I will show you how that works. To do that, again, we could do it through the menus, but since I know the command, we hold the command key and we press the shift key. So it's command shift and then N for get all new mail. So I'm going to press that now, and as we do, you'll notice it'll say like several rows added as the messages come in. It adds them to this message list that we're in. So I'm going to go ahead and press command shift N here at this point.
Get all new mail. One row added.
And it's loading. I guess that's it. I didn't have too many messages in there. But it kept saying, one row added, as it did that. Okay, let's see what we've got here. I'm just going to arrow up here.
Row 10. Status. Unread image.
Okay, so there's 10 messages here. Let's just arrow back to the top. I really don't have anything super private in here, just some things from email lists. So let's arrow back up to row 1.
Row 1. Status. Unread image. From Shane Jackson. Subject. Regarding. Flock files. Date received. Today 9:11 p.m.
Okay. That's actually a message from the Macintosh email list. So I'll just press enter here to open that, and it should read us the message automatically here. Just press enter.
I've also developed an interest in audience recorded live shows. The novelty of these is usually in hearing the entire show as a whole, the way the band communicates with the audience, and the different placement and arrangement of the songs. A great big list of albums does make a great shuffle on occasion, but a giant set of live shows almost never does. It also doesn't help that live shows are always distributed in lossless audio, and iTunes doesn't support FLAC. I also listen to audiobooks, which are linear by...
Anyway, you get the idea there. It reads the message. So that's fully accessible. Now, to close this message, course, in Windows, a lot of times to close a message, you'd press the escape key, or sometimes control F4 to close like a child window. The Macintosh command for closing a window is command W. So if we press that, it should close this message and take us back to the message list. So I'm going to press command W now.
Messages, table 1, row selected, row 1, status, blank, text, from Shane Jackson.
Subject. And the status is blank now because it said, you know, before it said unread. Let's go down to row 10. I believe that would be the message that I sent. Let's see if it is.
Status, unread, image, from Mike Arrigo. Subject, test, date received, today 10.02 p.m.
There we are. And, yeah, it's 10.02 in the evening when I'm recording this, so if I just press the Enter key here.
This is a demonstration of VoiceOver and the Macintosh. I hope everyone is enjoying it. Text.
And it says text there. Let me take this opportunity to kind of show you what I meant by interacting and that type of thing with VoiceOver. So now we'll get into some of the navigation keys, just so you can kind of see what I meant by, you know, interacting and how VoiceOver presents things. Most of the navigation keys, the basic navigation, are, again, we hold the VoiceOver modifier, as it were, the control and the option keys. Hold those down, and we can use the left and right up and down arrow, and up and down arrow keys. So I'm going to, again, set my Victor Reader stream down by the speaker, and I'm going to start pressing the VoiceOver right arrow key so you can kind of see what's here. And we should come across the text area containing this message, and then we'll interact with it and be able to read that in more detail. And this is probably the biggest difference, again, between a Windows and a screen reader and a VoiceOver. So I'm going to hold the control and the option keys, and there is a command, too, to basically lock the keyboard into VoiceOver mode. If you want to do that, if you're going to be doing a lot of VoiceOver navigation. And that comes in handy when browsing the web, which we'll get into, but for now there's no need to do that, I don't think. So I'm going to hold the control on the option keys, and let's press the right arrow key here.
From subject, test date, May 19th, 2008, 10.02 and 48 seconds, PM, CDT2, message headers, text.
Okay, that's the message headers, so we're on. Let's hit the VoiceOver right arrow again.
Mike Arrigo, image.
That's the name.
This is a demonstration of VoiceOver and the Macintosh. I hope everyone is enjoying it. Text.
Okay, now it says text there. Now, what if we wanted to read that in more detail? Well, then what we would do is do what's called interacting with that. To do that, again, we hold the control and the option keys, the VoiceOver modifier, and then we press shift and down arrow. So I'm going to do that now.
Interact with scroll area.
Interact with scroll area, it says. And what that is, yeah, it's a scroll area. So if it was a long message, which it isn't, of course, we could now just arrow down through the entire scroll area, and it would scroll if necessary. So essentially what you've got is a virtual reading cursor pretty much on any scroll area, even if the application itself doesn't have a reading or an actual, you know, cursor. That's something, as far as I know, that no Windows screen reader can do. Of course, in the web browsers, you know, you've got the virtual, you know, buffer and an Adobe Reader and that type of thing. But you don't have, and you can read things with the mouse cursor, but you don't have the ability to read continuously in any application that can scroll, you know, with a cursor like you can with a VoiceOver. Now, I think we can read this one word at a time or one character at a time. Let me hit VoiceOver right arrow again here.
This is a demonstration of VoiceOver and the Macintosh.
Okay, so now we're reading it word by word, even though the mail program itself does not have a reading cursor. And I'll show you a little bit later, I'll show you where that comes in handy too, you know, this interacting with the scroll area when it comes to reading a PDF file. But and if we can also read character by character if we press the VoiceOver shift right arrow.
Space, I, space H O P E space E V E R Y O N E space.
So that's how that works. And there are commands too for reading the current letter or the current word, that type of thing. And once you're done interacting with a certain portion of text, reading it in detail, you press VoiceOver Shift up arrow to stop interacting with the element.
Stop interacting with text.
There we go. Now if we press the VoiceOver and the right arrow key again.
From subject, test date, may not.
So now we're back to navigating just the elements of the window. So that's kind of how the whole interacting works. And again, we'll get into that a bit more with the web browsing and that type of thing. If you're interacting with something too, or even if you're just navigating around and you want to select something, you can do that. You just press the VoiceOver modifier and the spacebar, and it will activate whatever you are you're on. So that's kind of how that works. So that's kind of an overview of the mail program. I'm going to go ahead and hit Command W here to close this message.
Messages, table 1, row selected, row 10, status.
And we're back to the message list. And let's go ahead then and quit this application. Now, of course, in Windows, you press Alt F4 to open or to close an application. With the Mac, it's holding the Command key and pressing the letter Q for quit. And when we do that, it should take us right back to where we were, which was in the Applications folder of the hard drive. So let's go ahead and press Command Q here.
Quit Mail, Finder, Window, Applications, Table.
And we're back in the Applications, and it says Table. All right, let's go ahead and do a little bit of web browsing. Of course, a lot of times people compare, a screen reader's functionality with how does it browse the web. That's a very important thing. And the Macintosh does it well. The web browser that comes with the Mac is called Safari, and VoiceOver works with it very well. And a lot of the functionality is similar in some ways to how, a Windows screen reader does things. But again, there are some differences. So, let's go ahead and open up Safari. We're still in the Applications folder, and I believe we can just press the letter S to get to the Safari application. Let's see.
Row 31. Name, Safari, selected application, date modified, May 4th, 2008.
Okay, we don't have to hear all that, but now we want to go ahead and open this, and so we press Command-O to open the Safari web browser.
Open Safari window untitled HTML content.
Okay. We are sitting in Safari now in an untitled document. I've got mine set not to open a home page. I just prefer to go to a blank page and then I can take it from there. All right. Let's start out with a fairly simple page and then we'll get into something a little more complicated. For the simple page, I'll show you two things. It's a fairly simple page, but it also will show how VoiceOver works with forms. And with the Macintosh, there is no forms mode, or a browse mode, or something like that. You sometimes have to, depending on where you're at, you may have to move your VoiceOver cursor to the HTML content and then choose to interact with it. But as you're cursoring down through the page, and there are two ways too to navigate too with a VoiceOver. You can choose to activate or to navigate with what's called the DOM navigation, which stands for Document Object Model, which is very similar to how a Windows screen reader will navigate it. And you can also choose to navigate in what's called Groups, where it basically groups everything, and then you can interact with the different groups of items on a page. I've played with both of these, and I prefer the DOM navigation personally. But that's just me. It's personal preference. So that's what I'm going to be showing you here. And those of you that use the web with a Windows screen reader will find this fairly familiar in some ways. But as you arrow down, when you come across a form field, though there's no need to press enter on it or anything like that to switch to forms mode or turn off the browse mode or anything like that, when you get to the form control, you're already on it and ready to do what you need to do with it. So for this one, let's go to a Bible Gateway and maybe pull up a Bible verse. And the reason I'm showing you this one too is it'll give us an edit box to work with, and I'll be able to show you how the Macintosh does combo boxes, which in some ways is better than Windows, because with some of the combo boxes, of course, when you arrow up and down through them, it automatically just loads the next page unless you press Alt, you know, hold the Alt key and press the down arrow key to open the combo box first. Well, with a Mac, at least on most combo boxes, there's virtually no way for that to happen because it starts out as a button, and then you press space on the button and then select what you want in the menu. So what I'm going to do here is go ahead and open the page BibleGateway.com. To do that, we need to press Command-L for open location here in Safari. So I'm going to do that now.
Page address, edit text.
It says page address, edit text. I'm going to set down the Victor Reader stream here again so I can type this BibleGateway.com.
BibleGateway, period, C-O-M.
Okay, we press enter here.
HTML content. Link.
Okay, and the hard drive's still grinding. Okay, the page should be loaded by now. It loads pages very quickly. Now, I'm not sure if we're in the HTML content or not. Let's press voice over right arrow. The other thing, too, that this does when it comes to navigating the web, even in the DOM navigation, when you press the right or down arrow key, you generally move an element at a time. Now, that might be a paragraph or a link or a form field. It does put those separately, but if you're just in a bunch of text, it generally will read a paragraph at a time when you do that. And again, you can interact with each, you know, paragraph or each element if you want to read it in more detail, or even select text from it to copy to another document. So let's go ahead and just press the voiceover command right arrow here, and let's see if we're in the HTML window or if we need to interact with that. I'm going to set the Victor Reader stream down again while I do this, so I can do it with both hands, but you'll hear a voiceover read as we go here.
Edit text, blank, button.
Okay, so we are in the HTML content already. So I want to get down to the search field for a Bible verse. And there's also a list there that will allow us to select what translation is used. So there are commands we can do for that, actually. But since I'm kind of demonstrating and showing you how VoiceOver reads the different things, I'll just go ahead and we could hit the down arrow or the right arrow key here. It would have the same effect. But I'll just keep hitting the right arrow key here.
Link A. Link A. Link A.
Interesting name for a link at the top of this page.
Link A. Heading level 3, quick search. Enter the Bible passage, e.g. John 3:16, close parenthesis, keyword, e.g. Jesus, prophet, etc., or topic, e.g. salvation, you want to find. Edit text, blank.
Okay, that's the box we're going to type something in a minute, but I just want to show you what else is here. And I'm still holding the control and the option keys down, too, while I'm navigating this. But let's hit the right arrow one more time here.
New International Version, pop-up button.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, let's go back to the left now, the left arrow key. And we could use, I'll actually use the up arrow key here just to show you that you can use left and up will take you back on a web page, right arrow and down arrow key will take you forward. So I'll just press the up arrow key here since that's probably what you're a little more used to if you use Windows.
Edit text blank.
Okay. And if we're not sure what the prompt is for this, we can arrow up one more time.
Enter the Bible passage, e.g. John 3:1-6, close parenthesis, keyword, e.g. Jesus, prophet, etc., or topic, e.g. salvation, you want to find.
Okay, so that's fine. Let's arrow back down with the down arrow key here.
Edit text, blank.
Okay, we are, again, in the edit box. There's no need to press enter or switch to a forms mode or anything like that. We are in the box, ready to type. Let's look up, I don't know, how about John 3? John 3:16 is a very famous passage, so I'll just type in John space 3 into this box here. So I'm going to do that now.
J-O-A-N space 3.
All right. There's that. Now, to get to the combo box where you get the different translations, there's a couple of ways we can do that. We can use the VoiceOver cursor to get back to it and then select it, or with the Safari, we can just tab to it. And I'll just do that here. And your VoiceOver cursor, too, will stay synchronized with whatever you're on. Unless you disable it, you can disable the cursor tracking, but usually you'll want to leave that enabled. So I'm just going to press the tab key here.
New international version pop-up button.
Okay. Now here's what I was talking about with the combo box. Most of the Windows screen readers, I don't think this box actually does it. It's not set to do this, but a lot of the combo boxes, you know, that the Windows screen readers call it, will, you know, you press enter on them and then you arrow up and down, and if you don't press alt down arrow, a lot of times it'll load another page on you before you can read all the options. Well, with the Mac, you really never even have that issue because the combo boxes start out as just a pop-up button, as it were, and what you do is you press the space bar on it just like any other button, and that will then give you the menu of all the choices. And when you get to the one you want, you press enter, and then if it's designed to load a new page, it will do that. In this case, we'll have to tab to the submit button or the, you know, search button. But so really, with a Mac, there's really no way you can make that mistake with a combo box. So, anyway, I'm going to press the space bar here and search. Let's switch translations. I'll use the Contemporary English version, which is one of my favorites. So I'm sitting on the button, the pop-up button, as it were, for that. So I'm going to press the space bar.
Menu checkmark, new international version.
So it says menu checkmark, new international version, because that's what's checked. All right, let's arrow down here.
New American Standard Bible. The Message, Amplified Bible, New Living Translation, King James Version, English Standard Version, HTML content.
Okay, I'm not sure why it did that here. Let's see, where are we here?
Contemporary English Version.
Okay. I don't know why it said HTML content there, but we are still in this menu, I believe.
New King James Version.
Yes, we are. Okay, it did what it's supposed to. Okay.
Contemporary English version
is what we want. So now we can just press enter, or I think tab will even work. Let's see.
Contemporary English Version.
Does that work? Or?
Contemporary
no,
English
okay.
Version.
You can't, so you don't tab here because you're actually in a menu. Okay. So, well, in some ways that's good because then, you know, it keeps you from inadvertently selecting something you maybe didn't mean to. So we're on Contemporary English Version here in the menu. I'm going to press enter, and that should close the menu.
Contemporary English Version.
There we go. Okay, now we can press the tab key, I believe, and move to the search button.
Link, passage lookup, search the Bible button.
There we go. Okay, so we're sitting on the Search the Bible, and just press the space bar here to select that.
HTML content. Link.
Okay, there we are. Now the page is loaded, and it should have the Bible search there that we looked for. So now what I'm going to do, since this is going to take some navigation a little bit, we're going to be navigating a little bit down this page, I will go ahead and lock the keyboard into voiceover mode, or as it were. Basically, it simulates holding down, as if you were holding the control and the option keys down. But you don't have to do that. So to do that, we press the voiceover modifier, again, control and option, we hold those keys down, and we press the semicolon key. So I'm going to do that now, and voiceover will say,
control option lock on.
Control option lock on, it says. So now the arrow keys and the function keys that serve as voiceover commands will serve as the voiceover commands. Now, to skip past this stuff at the top, let's use another voiceover command, the command to go to the next heading on a page. So you do have the navigation just like you do in Windows. The command for that is control option, that's the voiceover modifier again, and then command H. Now, of course, we've locked the keyboard into voiceover mode at this point, so there's no need to hold the control and the option keys. We can just press command H. And I'm going to set the Victor Reader stream down again here, and so I can use both hands, and I'm going to press command H.
Level 1, passage results.
There we go. All right, let's just arrow down here through this now.
John 3, edit text. Contemporary English version, update button. Link, passage. Link, passage. Link, passage. Link, commentaries. Heading level 3, John 3, contemporary English version.
I'm just arrowing down here through the page.
Link, contemporary English version. CEV, copyright 1995, by... Link, American Bible Society. Heading level 4, John 3. Heading level 5, Jesus and Nicodemus. 1. There was a man named Nicodemus who was a Pharisee and a Jewish leader. 2.
So you'll notice it, the way this navigates, it does it kind of by elements. So in this case, what it's doing is it's kind of putting each verse on a separate line, and then each verse number on a separate line. Whereas the Windows screen readers, of course, they do it in a kind of much more linear fashion, where it's literally a line is only like, you know, 80 characters or however you choose to set it, whereas this is more by element. But we can interact with that, and I'll to read it in more detail, each element, and I'll show you how to do that here in a minute. So if you press the... And the Mac, if you press the down arrow or the right arrow fairly quickly, you're gonna navigate farther through a page than you would with a Windows screen reader. Okay, let's keep arrowing down here.
One night he went to Jesus and said, Sir, we know that God has sent you to teach us. You could not work these miracles unless God were with you. 3. Jesus replied, I tell you for certain that you must be born from above before you can see God's kingdom.
Okay, let's go ahead and let's go down to verse 4 here, and then let's say we wanted to read that in more detail. So let's go down.
4. Nicodemus asked, how can a grown man ever be born a second time?
Okay, now let's say we wanted to read that in more detail, like word by word or character by character. Well, what we do then is we interact with this text. So to do that, again, we press shift down arrow. We don't have to hold the control and the option keys because, again, the keyboard is locked into the voiceover mode. So I'm gonna press shift down arrow here.
Interact with text. 66 characters. Currently on line 1.
Okay.
Word Nicodemus character N.
And now we're basically restricted to reading that part of the text. So now we could press the voiceover right arrow key. Well, actually, again, the keyboard is still in the voiceover mode, so if we just press the right arrow key here, we should be able to move through this particular passage word by word.
Nicodemus, how can a grown man ever be born a second time?
And that's...
Nicodemus asked, how can a grown man ever be born a second time?
So there, you know, that allows you to read it in more detail. And we could read that too, character by character, I believe, by just using the shift right arrow here.
Quotation mark. Quote, E-M-I.
Let me move back to the top first, the beginning of that, actually.
Nicodemus, N-I-C-O-D-E-M-S, S-P-A-S-K-E-D.
Okay, so there we are reading it character by character. So, again, it's everything is available to you. You can do the same things. It's just a little bit different. You, for each element, it takes you through it. You know, the arrow keys take you an element at a time. That's kind of the way I like to think of it. It might be a paragraph. It might be, you know, a link and or a form field is always considered an element. That's what the arrow keys will take you through at first. And then if you want to interact with something and read, you know, text in more detail, you can do that. You just have to do the interaction first. That's probably, again, what confuses a lot of people. But in some ways, it's better because you get the best of both worlds. If you want to go quickly through a page, the arrow keys will take you by element. If you want to read something in more detail, you can do that also with the interaction. So in a lot of ways, it's the best of both worlds. Okay, let's go ahead and stop interacting with this block of text. So we're going to press shift up arrow.
Stop interacting with text.
And now we're back on the HTML reading by element, I believe. Let's see.
5. Jesus answered, I tell you for certain that before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born not only by water, but by the Spirit.
Okay, so there's that. That's kind of a simple website, and it shows you a form. Okay, let's go to a little more of a complicated site, and I'll show you the links list. VoiceOver has. Let's go to CNN.com. That's a nice kind of busy page. It's got a lot of links on it. So let's go pull that page up. Let me turn off the VoiceOver lock. So to do that, I'm going to press Control Option and semicolon again.
Control Option lock off.
Okay, now let's go ahead and do a Command L.
http://www.
Okay, I'll stop that. It's reading what's in there now. Okay, let's do CNN.com. And sometimes this puts up a pop-up window, which we may have to close. We'll see. Let's just go ahead and type CNN.com.
Safari and has new window.
Press Enter.
Scroll area. Submit button.
It says submit, but in CNN, for some reason, the focus, I guess they got the webpage written to always default to going to the submit button. I guess so you can press enter on it once you type a search. And, you know, so that's why a voiceover says that. Okay, let's see where we are here. I'm just going to press Control Option and... The right arrow key here.
Visited link, home, link, world, link, U.S., link, politics.
Okay, well, there's certainly, you know, plenty of stuff on this page, but rather than arrowing through it, let's just pull up the links list here in this case and see what we've got. Certainly we could read through this just like we did the other page, but let's go ahead and pull the links list up. To do that, it's the voiceover command is, again, the voiceover modifier control option, and U, and that pulls up the links list. So I'm going to do that now.
Link chooser menu, 254 items.
Okay, link chooser menu, and it's 254 items. Now, what this does, if you know what link you're interested in, you can start to spell it, and then what it will do is... Not only will it take you to the first item, but it will restrict and it will only show you the items that start with that. So that's kind of a handy feature. But let's just arrow down here through some of these and see what we've got.
Slash, CNN News, CNN Videos, Home, World, U.S., Politics, Crime, Entertainment, Health, Tech, travel, living, business, sports, time.video.
Let's look at health. That might be a good one. So let's just arrow back up.
Time, sport, business, live, travel, tech, health.
And we press enter here. Okay. Now, what this does, it doesn't automatically activate the link. What it does is it moves the voiceover cursor to the link that you've selected. This way you can, you know, get some context and read to see if it's really where you want to go before you actually press select it. So we should be on that now. Let's confirm that with the voiceover command for read the current line, which again is control option L.
Health.
There we go. Okay. So there's a couple ways we could activate this. We are sitting on it, so we could just press enter in Safari. Or we could press the voiceover command to basically select or activate whatever you're sitting on. And I'll go ahead and use that since we haven't used that yet. So to do that, we press hold the control and the option keys and press the space bar. So I'll do that now.
Prep. HTML link. Submit button.
Okay. And it kind of interrupted itself. It was very fast, but it said press. And it would have said press link because it activated it. And then it said, you know, HTML content and then submit, but it loaded too fast, and we're back on the submit button. So let's see what we've got on this page. This is a very busy page, so I think we can use the heading command to get through some of this stuff on the top, and I'm going to lock the keyboard again into the voiceover mode, so we don't have to keep holding the control and the option keys down. Then we can navigate this pretty quickly, hopefully.
Control option lock on.
So it says control option lock on. Okay. Let's do command H again to search forward by heading. We could do command shift H to go back, but for now, let's just do command H and see what the headings we've got.
Submit
here.
Button. Submit button. Visited link home.
Let's see here.
Link world. Link.
Maybe there are no other. Maybe there are no other headings actually on this page. I guess not. Okay, well, that's all right.
Link politics. Link.
Let's just
crime.
Let's just arrow down through this, and I'm going to go fairly quickly because again, there is a command to search for just a text, but you really don't need it as much with this because this takes you through it fairly quickly.
Link. CNN TV. Link. Blue Dobbs tonight. Weeknights. Link. 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 Not. Link. Bullet. Link. Part-time jobs. Bullet. Quick keyword. Edit text. Enter city. Edit text. State. Job type. Link. More options. Visit vertical line. Link. Vertical. Link. Vertical. Link. Vertical. Link. Travel. Link. Vertical. Link. Email. Submit. Link. Link.
This is a very busy page.
Link. You're paging Dr. Gupta.
Okay, this should be interesting.
Link. Paging Dr. Gupta. Link. Surviving fitness boot camp. Link. Making medical me time. Link. Vaccines and autism. 404,628. Frame 1. Blogs. Health.com. Link. Poked and prodded. Time.com. Link. Eye on science. Parenting. Link. The parenting post for moms, dads. CNN TV. Link. Lou Dobbs tonight weeknights. 7 p.m. edit. Link. Larry King live weeknights 9 p.m. edit.
Okay. So we could, of course, gone to any of those health articles if we had wanted to read them. Easy enough. So that's kind of how the web works. As you can see, it's It's very usable and very accessible. And there is a command also to have it tell you the URL of a link in case it's really unlabeled. That command is, I believe it's control option or the voiceover modifier, and I believe it's either shift U or command U. Let's see.
http://www.cnn.com/cnn/programs/larry.king.live/.
Okay, so that's control option shift U actually to do that. Another thing that you can use here to get around on the web is what's called the item chooser menu. Let me turn off the voiceover lock for the keyboard.
Control option lock off.
Okay. The item chooser menu, what that is it builds a list of all the items in the window or in the area that you're interacting with and allows you to pick it from a menu. And for a page like this, that might actually be the best thing to do. I'll just bring that up on this CNN page and we'll see how many items this page has. The command for that is voiceover modifier, so you hold the control and the option keys and we press the letter I.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 174 items.
So it says item chooser menu, 174 items. Now if we just arrow down through here.
Health. All rights reserved. Vertical line. Vertical line. Vertical line.
It's considering those vertical lines to be an item. I'm not sure why they put those into a web page, I guess for formatting purposes. Let's keep arrowing down here, though.
Vertical.
Try to skip past all these.
Bullet. 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 Link. About us. Ads by Google. Link. Advertise with us. Link. Anderson Cooper. 360 weeknights. 10 p.m. Ed. Link. Arabic. Link. Autism. Link blogs. Blood pressure above 160. Link. Business. Link. Business. Button. Link. CNN on Espanol. Link. CNN. Link. Link. CNN radio.
Okay, so you get the idea. That it basically gives you a list of all the items on the page, and you can pick the one you want. Like if I were to press enter here.
Link. CNN radio. Link. CNN
yeah,
radio.
Because I'm still in the item chooser menu. So if I pressed enter here.
Link. CNN radio.
There we go. Now, of course, it didn't activate that or anything because we were still in the item chooser menu, and pressing enter selected that. So now if we press control option L for the current line.
CNN radio.
Yeah, our voiceover cursor is sitting right on that link. So that's another way to get around really fast in a website is just to bring up the item chooser menu. And that will not only give you the list of links, but all the items on the page, too. I don't think any Windows screen reader does that I know of, that lists it all in one place for you. So you can list the links or all the items in a menu. Okay, let's go ahead and exit out of Safari. We'll press Command-Q to take us out of that.
Finder, Window, Applications, Table.
All right, and we're back in the applications again. All right, let's look at another very important thing to be able to do with a computer, and that's word processing. The Mac comes with a program called TextEdit, and it's similar to WordPad, but it does a little more than WordPad does. It will open Word documents as well as RTF files and plain text files. And I'll go ahead and open that, and we'll type a couple of sentences, and I'll show you how you can spell check something, as well as we'll select some text and modify the attributes and that type of thing, typical word processing. So to do that, we're still in the Applications folder here from before, and I don't know if there's anything else that starts with T. There probably is, so what I'm going to type here is T-E-X, and that should get us to the text edit application fairly quickly.
Row 36. Name, text edit, selected application, date modified.
All right, that's exactly what I want here. We won't bother listening to the rest of that extra verbiage. So I'm going to go ahead and press Command-O to open this application.
Open. Text edit. Window. Untitled. Edit text blank has keyboard focus.
Okay. And we are sitting in text edit, ready to type our document. Okay. So let's go ahead and type a couple of sentences here. And actually, I'll do two different paragraphs, sentence for each one. For the first one, let's do a sentence that has every letter in the alphabet. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. So I'll go ahead and type that here.
T-A-E space E-I-X space B-O-U-P space A-X delete delete F A-O-F space J-U-F-P F space U-V up space T-A-E space A-X space D-O-G period.
Okay, and I'm going to start a new paragraph here with pressing the return key.
New line.
All right, and let's type another sentence that's common for typing demonstrations. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party. And I'll deliberately misspell party. I'll put P-A-R-T-I-E instead of P-A-R-T-Y so we can have a misspelled word to work with here.
N up dot space I at space it spit I at it up space at space up deep space at it up space up space up at it spit up space it spit at it up spit at it up spit at it y.
Whoops, I actually spelled it right there. Let me delete that and misspell that.
Delete y. I e e I I e. Period, period, E.
Okay, great. So now we've got our two sentences here. Let's arrow back up.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
There we go. And now we go down here, arrow down.
Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their partai.
Their partai, yeah. Well, that'll be fixed before this is done. Okay, let me turn on a voiceover feature that will give us the attribute changes and that type of thing for this. You don't have to use this, but certainly if knowing that is important to you, it is available, and I'll show you that. So to do that, I'm just going to hit the voiceover command, Control-Option-V. This is a temporary way to change the verbosity. It doesn't save these permanently, though you can certainly do that by going into the voiceover control panel. But for now, I just want to change this temporarily. So I'm going to hit Control-Option-V here.
Adjust typing echo, punctuation, text attributes, nothing.
Text attributes, nothing. And I'm going to arrow down
speak.
To speak and press Enter.
Stop adjusting text attributes.
This is stop adjusting text attributes. Okay. Now, let's go back up, arrow up to the first sentence of our document here.
The quick brown fox jumps.
Now,
new line and new line.
Actually, I want to kind of move to the
new line. The quick
top
brown
here.
Fox jumps. So T H.
There we go.
H T.
Okay. Now we can find out what the attributes are where our cursor is at with the voiceover command. Again, we hold the voiceover modifier control option, and we press the letter T. And it should tell us. Let's go ahead and do that now. And we should be able to find that out.
12-point Helvetica, aligned left.
Yeah, 12-point Helvetica, aligned left. Okay. So, in order to maybe bold something, let's go ahead and bold a word and underline a word. Why don't we go ahead and bold the word over, and then we'll underline the word lazy. So we need to get the cursor over to the word over first. So to do that, I'm just going to hold the Option key and the right arrow key, which is the Mac command. It's similar to the Control right arrow in Windows to move a word at a time.
Space.
Whoops. I didn't want to put a space in there. Let me
delete
that.
Space.
There we go. Okay.
The quick brown fox jumps over.
Okay. Now, what this does is it actually moved the cursor to the end of the word. But we need to go back with the left arrow key to get the cursor to the beginning of the word so we can select it. So I'm going to press the left arrow key here.
R-E-V-O.
There we go. All right. Now, to select it, we do... Well, there's a couple of ways to do it. But we do a Command-Shift-Right arrow. That's the easiest way to do it. VoiceOver has some keys, too, for selecting text when needed. But in this case, we can just use the Mac built-in stuff. So I'm going to press Shift, Option, and the right arrow key here.
Over. Highlighted.
And it says over. Highlighted. So now we know that word's highlighted, and we can verify that. If we press the VoiceOver modifier F6, that's the command for read selected text.
Over.
Over. Which is what we want. All right. Let's go ahead and bold that. And to do that, we press Command B.
Bold.
There we go. Bold. Now, if we read this a word at a time, since we have that attribute notification turned on, it will automatically tell us when the attributes change, and we can also query at any time. So I'm going to move the cursor back here away from that word, and then we're going to we'll read it word by word, and it should indicate to us what's bold and then what's plain here. Let's just read
Fox
with the arrow keys here.
Fox jumps, bold over, plain V.
Yeah, so it says bold over to tell us that that's bolded, and then V is plain. Now, if we read by character, too, I believe it will tell us that. Let's see.
E-H-T space bold R-E-V-O plain space.
Yeah, so it tells us that we definitely know over is bolded there. And
space bold O-V.
If we're not sure where we're at, too, or what the current character is, we can always press the VoiceOver command Control-Option-T, which is basically the text attribute command.
Bold 12-point Helvetica, align left.
There we go. Bold 12-point Helvetica, align left. And, of course, we can press VoiceOver-C to read, I believe, that reads...
Untitled.
The current...
The quick brown fa...
character. Let's see.
Bold 12-point Helvetica, align left, E, R.
Let's see. Actually, let's see.
Over.
There we go. Over, and then we can spell that.
O, V, E, R.
Okay, I don't think,
Plain, space, space. Bold, R, R. Plain space T.
Yeah, I wasn't okay. I wasn't sitting on a character. That's why it didn't read that. But because the cursor actually is either before or after the character you're sitting on, so that's why it didn't say anything there. But okay, now let's underline lazy. So to do that, we need to get the cursor over to that word so we can select it. So I'm pretty close to it. I'm just going to use the right arrow key here.
V-E-R.
And that word's bolded.
Plain space. T-A-E space.
Okay, there we go. Now let's do option shift right arrow to select lazy.
Lazy. Highlighted.
There we go. And we can verify that.
Lazy.
There we go. Okay, now we want to underline that. So that would be Command U.
Underline.
There we go. Okay, now if we read this, the text attribute.
12-point Helvetica, align left, space, underline, L, A, Z, Y, plain, space.
Right.
Space, underline, Y.
So, now I wonder if we read this line by line, if it'll tell us as it reads the whole line that that stuff's all been done. I think it does. Let's see.
Plain. Now is the time. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Okay, it doesn't do it when you read it line by line, but when you read it word by word or character by character, it'll certainly tell you that.
Underline Y. Lazy, plain, V, bold, over.
I'm reading it backwards.
Plain, jumps. Quick, V, quick, brown, fox, jumps, bold, over, plain, V, underline, lazy, plain, dog.
Okay, so there we are. We have, you know, no doubt about our text and what it's like there. Let me go ahead and turn off that attribute notification, because that can be some extra verbiage if you're just reading. But I just wanted to show you that it is possible, and it does work. And so you can get that any time by using the voiceover T command if you need to know where your cursor is at, what the characteristics are. So let me turn off that feature for now.
Adjust text attributes. Speak.
And I'll set this to nothing.
Speak. Nothing. Stop adjusting text attributes.
Okay. Now, remember that word P-A-R-T-I-E that I misspelled. Let's see if we can get that corrected. The command to spell check, TextEdit actually has a spell checker built in, and VoiceOver will automatically tell you that a word is misspelled, and we'll be able to get the suggestions for it. So, to do that, the VoiceOver command, or not, it's actually not a VoiceOver command, it's a Mac command, to spell check is command semicolon. So I'm going to press that now.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their partai. Edit text misspelled. Partai is selected.
Okay, so partai. So I believe we can read that and have it spell that for us, the misspelled one. Let's see.
Misspelled partai. P-A-R-T-I-E, period.
Okay, so we definitely know what's... what the misspelled word is, and it's selected now. To get suggestions, what we have to do is bring up the shortcut menu for the item that you're under. This is similar to, in Windows, what would be the right click, the context menu, Shift F10, or the you know, the context menu key. To do that, we use a voiceover command, and it's the voiceover, again, the control and option, Shift M. So we do control option, Shift M. So I'm going to do that now.
Menu.
And let's just arrow down and see what we got here.
Create. Writing direction, submenu, speech, submit, substitutions, submit, speak, writing, create, party, pantai, partite, partied, parties, partai, partai, ignore spelling.
Ignore spelling, we can choose to do that.
Learn spelling.
Learn spelling, which would be added to the dictionary.
Search in Spotlight.
Search in Spotlight, that's like, to search your hard drive.
Search in Google.
Search in Google, okay.
Search in learn speak.
I don't
want
to do that. Let's get back up to the right word here. So I'm going to arrow back up.
Parties, partied, partite, panta, party.
Party, I believe that's the one we want. We can verify it. Let's use the voiceover current word command again, which is voiceover control option W.
Party.
And we can spell that.
P-A-R-T. Y.
And that's what we want, so we will press enter to replace it.
Selection deleted.
And it says selection deleted. Now if we read that line, we should find that that reads correctly. Let's see.
Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party.
There we go. So we've spell checked that, and the correct word is now there. So as you can see, word processing, you know, writing documents, checking the status of the you know, the attributes, the font, all fully accessible with the word processor that comes with the with the Mac. All right, let's go ahead and quit out of this. And press Command Q, and this time it'll pop up a dialog asking if we want to save, which of course we don't want to. But I'll show you what that sounds like when it reads it. So we'll press Command Q.
Quit text edit. Interact with dialog. Alert. Do you want to save the changes you made in the document? Untitled, your changes will be lost if you don't save them.
All right, let's just tab to don't save here, because I really don't want to save this.
Cancel, save, don't save button.
Don't save will do.
Clip Finder, Window, Applications, Table.
Okay, so that's that. Let me show you just a couple other things here. I'm not going to spend as much time on these, because I wanted to show you the essentials, really. Word processing, mail, and web browsing, because that's what a lot of people really want to do. But I'll show you a few other things that are kind of interesting. I'm going to pause this and go grab an audio CD, and I'll show you how that's handled in iTunes. It's pretty nice. Let me go ahead and close these other windows first, the Applications folder and the Macintosh HD folders. So to do that, I'm going to press Command-W.
Table. Clone Macintosh HD selected.
Okay, there we go. Now we're back on the desktop. All right, I'm going to pause this recording and go grab a audio CD and to insert here, and I'll show you how that works. All right, we're back on the recording here, and I grabbed an audio disc. I think this one is one of the Time Life CDs, and I think it's AM Gold 1978. I think that's the one I grabbed. We'll find out, hopefully, if it's in the Internet database. So I'm sitting on the desktop again, and I'm just going to open this CD case and take out the disc and insert it into the Macintosh. Now, the way this works, it's a little different than what you might be used to with a PC. With a lot of the PCs, of course, you hit the button, the drawer pops out, and you lay the CD on the tray, and then you close it. With this, you kind of just insert it kind of more in the front, and it kind of just takes it out of your hand and kind of sucks it in here. So just push it in, and there it goes. It just kind of grabbed it, and it'll take it a second while it scans, but then what'll happen is a new icon for that CD will show up on the desktop here. So in addition to the Macintosh HD, we will have another icon for the CD, and it should be there by now. Let me just arrow down and see if it is here.
Audio CD selected.
There we go. Audio CD. Now we can open this with Command-O in the usual way. So let's go ahead and do that.
Open. Window. Audio CD. Icon view. Scroll area. Zero items selected. Icon view. Scroll area.
Okay. I'm in the icon view at the moment. Let me switch that to list view. Again, because I prefer to view them that way. Everything's in a single column, and it just seems a little bit easier to navigate. To do that, we could do it from the view menu through the menu bar, but there's an easier way. If we hold the command key down and press the number 2, that will change it to a list view.
Table.
There we are. All right, let's see what we've got here. I don't think these tracks will be named yet because they're just audio tracks. We'll have to actually open it, but let's see what we got if we arrow up and down.
Row 1. Name. 1. Audio track. Selected AIFF audio file. Date modified. Today, 11.05 p.m. Size, 32 megabytes. Sort button. AIFF audio file.
Okay, it's just an AIFF audio file. It's the different tracks. So to actually open this, and once we do, we'll be able to read each track individually with iTunes. So let's just press Command-O to open this track.
Open.
And it'll open up in iTunes, which it's launching now, and it should start to play the first track. Let's see. It's scanning the CD quite a bit.
iTunes. Window. iTunes. Sources. Table. Has keyboard focus.
Okay. I think I hit the space bar now to play it. Let's see. And there we go. Okay. So there's the audio CD. Now, I can go to the next track with the right arrow key, I think. Yep. So that's fully accessible. Now let's stop this just for a minute. Now if you want to read what's on this disk, we can...
Edit text blank. Sources table 1 row selected. AM Gold 1978 disk playlist.
Okay, there we are. So it recognized the disk. Now we can just arrow up and down here and get all the names of the songs on this disk.
iTunes Store.
I don't want to go there at this point.
AM Gold 1978 disk playlist.
Okay, that's the playlist. Let's just tab back to this list here.
Songs.
There we go.
Table, no selection. Row 1. Status 1. Name. Hochschild in the City. Time. 3:10. Quote. Artist. Nick Gilder. Album. AM Gold 1978. Genre. Rock. Row 2. Status 2. Name. Love is like oxygen. Time. 3:48. Quote. Artist. Sweet. At row 3. Status 3. Name. Don't look back. Time. 6:12. Quote. Artist. Boston. Album.
And if you want to play a certain track, you don't have to, you know, I think with this, you can also type the letters of the artist, the one that you're looking for. Like if we wanted to go back to the Hochschild in the City, I think if we press H, let's see.
Row 16. Status 16. Name. Here You Come Again. Time. 3:00. Quote. Artist. Dolly Parton. Album. AM Gold. Row 15.
Okay, it doesn't wrap back to the top, but yeah, it'll take you to the first one that, you know, and then you can just press the spacebar on it. For example, if we're arrowing through here.
Row 14. Status 14. Name. Kiss You All Over. Row 14.
That's a great song. Status. Kiss You All Over by Exile. So if we just hit the spacebar on that track, then it should play it. Let's see. Yeah. So, see, you can just arrow through the different tracks, and when you find one that you want, you can play it. So again, your lists are fully accessible. I haven't played much with the iTunes Store yet, though I've heard for the most part it does work. Maybe when I do that, I'll do a demonstration of that. So we'll go ahead and stop that, and then exit iTunes. I just wanted to show you that you know, if you play an audio CD, it's accessible. Also, if you play your MP3 files, if you have an MP3 collection, you know, that's accessible. The play and the stop and the menus, you know, are all fully accessible with that also. Okay, let's hit Command-Q and exit out of iTunes here.
AM Gold 1978 selected.
Okay. And,
Macintosh HD select AM Gold 1978 selected.
And then once it learns what it is, it keeps the title there.
Finder. Macintosh HD
select. Now, I don't think I still have that window open. Let me find out here. Now, VoiceOver does have a command to bring up a list of windows
desktop,
for the current application. Let's see if
we're... Items, desktop, shift, D, desktop view options.
Desktop.
Window, view options.
The view options is still open. I think that may have been open from earlier. Let me just close that. Let's see.
AM Gold 1 Macintosh HD
okay.
Selected.
There we go. All right. I want to go ahead and eject this disk then. To do that, when it's highlighted.
AM Gold 1978 selected.
There we go. We just press Command E to eject.
It's zero items selected.
There we go. And it says zero items selected, and it very nicely spits out the disk. Okay, I'm going to pause this while I go put this audio CD away, and then I'll show you a few other things. Okay, I'll go ahead and show you a couple other things here really, really fast. I'll just kind of browse through them. I realize this has kind of been a long demonstration, so if you're still listening, I appreciate you staying with me through this whole thing, and I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I've enjoyed presenting it to you. Okay, the system preferences, that's a place you might want to go to change some things, and I'll just kind of give you an overview of it. It's kind of the equivalent to the Windows control panel, and we get to it from the Apple menu, and it's fully accessible. I'm going to press Control F2 to bring up the menu bar.
Menu bar, Apple.
Okay, and let's just press the down arrow key here to get into this.
Apple menu, about this Mac, system profile, software, Mac OS X, system preferences, ellipsis.
There we go, system preferences, and press enter.
Macintosh, system preferences, window, system preferences, toolbar.
Okay. Now here we can just tab through these buttons. You got a bunch of options here, and if you need to get some context about anything, you can just use the voiceover cursor to read. For example, let's go ahead and tab here.
Appearance button, desktop and screensaver button, dock button.
The dock, okay, I should mention what that is probably. I haven't mentioned that up to this point. The dock is something that sits, it can be set to sit on the bottom or the left or the right of your desktop, and it's kind of a combination of the taskbar and the desktop. And the reason I say that is because it shows you, you can put a list of what's running, but you can also put icons on it of commonly used applications, like the mail application is in there, Safari's in there, you know, the common applications, and you can just open them from there. But like I say, it also shows applications that are running. So it's kind of a combination of the desktop and to the taskbar, and it is accessible with VoiceOver. I'll show you that here in a minute, actually. We'll go down to that. Let's just look at what else we got in the preferences.
Expose and spaces button, international button, security button, spotlight button.
Spotlight is similar to, in Windows, the indexing, where it'll search for different things.
Bluetooth button, CDs and DVDs button, displays button, energy saver button.
Let's just go into energy saver just for fun. And this is kind of how these control panel applets or these system preferences are laid out. I'll press the space bar on this.
Window, energy saver, toolbar.
Okay. Now, this might be a time to tell you about another voiceover feature that, again, I don't think any other Windows screen reader has.
Toolbar.
Normally in Windows, of course, you tab around, you've got your keyboard focus, and then you've got your mouse cursor. And you use that to read different things and that type of thing. And you can click on different things. But normally, if you're just using the mouse cursor to read, your keyboard focus stays where you put it. Like if you're in a dialog box and you start reading around with the mouse cursor, you can click on different things. But the keyboard focus, unless you click on something, your keyboard focus is going to stay where it is, unless you tab or do something else with the regular, arrow keys to change that. With the voiceover, and you can disable this feature if you want to, but normally what happens is with the voiceover cursor, as you read with that and go to different buttons and that type of thing, your keyboard focus also moves to that. So for example, we're in the energy saver window at this point now. Now if I tab here, that's the keyboard focus.
Sleep, select a tab, one of two.
Okay, sleep, we're on, there's different tabs here. Now if I tab again.
Never, horizontal slider.
Okay, so now I'm on the horizontal slider, never. That's where the keyboard focus is at, and that's where my voiceover cursor is at. Now, let's say I decide to read around this window a little bit with the voiceover cursor. If I press Control Option left arrow here to go back.
Blank text. Put the computer to sleep when it is inactive for blank text.
Now I'm using the right voiceover right arrow.
Never. Horizontal slider. 1 min. 15 min.
These are just the different slider options.
1 HR. 3 HRS. Never. Put the display S to sleep when the computer is inactive for blank. Never. Horizontal slider. 1 min, 15 min, 1 HR, 3 HRS, never. Put the hard disk S to sleep when possible, uncheck checkbox.
Okay. All right. So, this is a good example of this. Now, in most Windows screen readers, I was reading all those with the voiceover cursor, not with the tab key. And normally when you use a Windows Screen Reader's cursor, now you could click on that option, you know, with your mouse cursor, and that would then move your focus to that. But if you didn't do anything at this point, your keyboard focus would still be in, you know, where you were before in that sleep. I think it was or never. It was that's the option we left the keyboard focus on. But with the voiceover now, the keyboard focus is actually sitting on this checkbox. And if we tab and then shift tab back, you'll see that the keyboard focus has also moved with the voiceover cursor. So that's kind of a nice feature. Your voiceover cursor, unless you turn it off, which you can do, but your voiceover cursor and the keyboard focus always stay synchronized. So when you want to use the voiceover cursor, and then if you want to go back to just using the keyboard focus, you can without, you know, having to route any cursors to any place. Though voiceover has those commands, again, if need be, but your keyboard focus moves as you read with the voice cursor, which, again, no other Windows Screen Reader that I know of does that. But let's just hit the tab key again here.
Help button.
There's the help. Now, if we shift tab back.
Put the hard disk S to sleep when possible. Uncheck checkbox.
So that, you know, the keyboard focus has also moved there, you know, also with the voiceover cursor. So that's a really nice feature. But that's kind of how the system preferences are laid out. All of them are laid out that way. It's really simple dialogue controls. And if you're used to the Windows control panel, you won't have any trouble with that. Okay, let's go ahead and hit Command Q here and get out of the system preferences.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
I'll go ahead and show you one more thing. Maybe we'll save Skype until I can actually get a microphone for this computer. That type of thing, so we can actually maybe make a call with it. But one last thing I'll show you is PDF files. That's something that a lot of people want to read. And actually, with the Mac, you don't even have to install Adobe Acrobat Reader. There's a program called Preview that's built into the Mac that will read PDF files, at least the ones that have text. Now, if it's just a graphic, it's not going to be able to do much with it anyway. But if it has text, it will be able to read it. And let me go ahead and open the Macintosh User's Guide. That's a PDF file that comes on the Mac, and we'll just open that and read a little of it. So to do that, I'm just going to go through this really fast. I'm going to open the hard drive.
Finder. Open. Window. Macintosh HD. Table. Table.
Okay. And it's in the folder called User's Guide, so I'm just going to press the letter U and get down to that row.
Row 6. Name, user guides, and information, selected folder, date modified.
Okay, and that's exactly what we want. Let's go ahead and do Command-O to open it.
Open, window, user guides, and information, table.
All right, let's see what we've got here.
Row 1, name, Airport Extreme Regulatory, row 2. Name, Apple Hardware Test Readme, selected application, row 3. Name, Bluetooth Regulatory, row 4. Name, Energy, star, row 5. Name, Mac Mini Users, guide.pdf, selected portable document.
That's what I want, so we'll just do Command-O, and again, this application is built into the Mac. This isn't something I installed, so we'll just do a Command-O to open it.
Open. Preview. Window. Mac Mini Users, guide.pdf, page 1 of 72. Congratulations, you and your Mac Mini were made for each other. Contents.
Okay, so I'll just hit the control key to stop that. Okay, now we need to get the voiceover cursor to the scroll area to interact with that, and then what we will essentially have, though this preview application does not have a cursor in it, again, in any scroll area, when you interact with that with voiceover basically creates a virtual cursor for that scroll area that you can use to read by character, by word, by line. So you don't have any of this, you know, the document has to be prepared like you do in Windows or in any of that stuff. It's ready to go. So let's just use the voiceover commands here. I'm going to do control option, and if we do the left arrow, I think, because usually the scroller is the last item. Let's see if we can get to it.
Button.
That's a button. Let's go to the right.
Congratulations, you and your...
Okay, there we are. So, now let's interact with that.
Interact with scroll area.
There we go. So now we're interacting with the scroll area. If I turn on the voiceover option lock now...
Control option lock on.
There we go. We now essentially have a virtual cursor that we can use to read down this document. If I press the down arrow key here.
Space. New line. Space. Space. Congratulations, you and your Mac Mini were made for each other. Space. Contents. Space. 3.
There's a lot of hard spaces and hard like carriage returns in this file that VoiceOver reads. It doesn't seem to do that as much with other files, but with this one, it does do that. Let me just
chapter 8.
Kind of skip past the contents a little bit here. I'm just hitting the down arrow key really fast.
Spit third space, new 30, spate problems that prevent spate third spit rich space, 30th spit of spit third spit eep spit.
Just to get past some of this.
Space, new problem space, 40. Space, keep spit, foot, spit, look, space, fort, spit, spit, foot, spit, cop.
And it will, as we read down, it will scroll, you know, this area as we go.
Space, save space, foot, spit, youth, spit.
We're almost done with the table of contents here.
Spit, fifth, spit, hot, spit, fifth, spit, quit, space, new, 53, spit, of, space, 53, spit, in, spit, fifth, spit, carrying your Mac Mini, space, 56, spit, out, spit, fifth, space, new look space 65 space end space 1.
Here we go.
Space 1. Space ready. Set up. Go. www.apple.com/Mac Mini. Mac Help Migration Assistant. Space 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 chapter 1. Spit red space 7 space. Your Mac Mini has been designed so that you can easily set it up and start using it right away. If you have never used a Mac Mini or are new to Macintosh computers, read this section for instructions about getting started.
Okay, and so now we essentially have a virtual cursor to read this entire document, and I think we can read by a word also. Let's see if we press the right arrow key.
Important. Read all of the installation instructions.
Yep, and I think we could even go by character. With the shift, right arrow, let's see.
Space, A, N, D, space, T, H, E, space, S, A, F.
Yep. So, again, with any scroll area on the Mac, any program that's, you know, got an area that can be scrolled, you interact with that, and then VoiceOver will essentially create a virtual cursor for that area. It doesn't have to depend on, you know, a program, you know, including certain, you know, accessibility things or anything like that, like, you know, with Adobe Acrobat on the Windows, of course, they had to, you know, implement that into the screen reader to you know, virtualize, load the document into the virtual buffer. But with the Mac, you don't have any of that stuff. You just interact with the scroll area with the preview program, and it just works for PDF files. So that's a nice feature. Okay, let's go ahead and exit out of this. Let me turn off the voiceover option lock.
Control option lock off.
And we'll do Command Q to close this.
Finder, Window, User Guides, and a Cloak Table. Cloak Macintosh HD.
Okay.
Selected.
And we're back on the desktop.
Selected.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this demonstration at this point. I hope everybody's enjoyed this. I've enjoyed doing it. I hope you found it beneficial, but I think that, and I certainly hope that this has demonstrated to you some of the accessibility features that are built in. Again, everything I've shown you has all been built in to the Mac. There was nothing extra that was purchased or anything like that. This comes with all Macs, these programs. It's commendable that Apple has done this and incorporated this accessibility into the operating system. If you have any questions or comments, or you'd like to see some other demonstrations, again, when I get a microphone, I want to do one with Skype, perhaps. Please, I'd love to hear from you. send me an email. My email address again is N0OXY. It's my ham radio call sign, so those of you that are familiar with ham radio, that should be familiar. N0OXY at charter.net. charter.net. And hope everyone's enjoyed this. I certainly have enjoyed creating it. And everyone, take care.